Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast with your favorite podcast host, Brandon Lynette. This is the show for people who are done being coddled, done outsourcing their power, and done pretending they're confused when you're really just avoiding responsibility. This is where we talk real life, real discipline, real faith, and real action. No motivational bullshit, okay? No victim culture, just real perspective, practical moves, and the kind of truth that forces you to look in the mirror and decide who you're actually gonna be. Around here, we believe God didn't screw up when he made you. You were built with intention, wired with purpose, and called to steward your mind and your body because your life actually matters. Okay. I'm excited today to introduce you guys to a guest. I'm joined by Peter Gunn, and buckle up because this guy does not fit in a box. Okay. He is a U.S. Air Force veteran with 20 years of honorable service. Thank you for your service. Struggled with childhood obesity, rebuilt himself through disciplined bodybuilding. He is a poet who is obsessed with reviving epic literature, and he is a lead guitarist of a new band, the Angelics. I hope I said that right. Right? Okay. Currently recording their first album. And I'll let Peter tell his story here, but I mean, you have quite a story, Peter. Thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I read, like, I don't even know where we start because there is so much to talk we could talk about today. 7 years old, you had a near-death experience. So I think we
Yes.
should start there. That's amazing.
Okay. Okay. Well, first, let me start out with a caveat. This is back in the early 80s. My parents were good parents. Okay. They it was normal for parents to stop and leave the kids back then. The whole latchkey kid culture was very much a normal thing, and it wasn't frowned upon. It was just one of those things. So my parents had left me alone, and it was during the summer, particularly hot summer. I was given chores to do, and I knew, back then, when you didn't do what you were told, you got a whipping. You got switched. So I knew if I didn't get my chores done that I would get spanked or get at least talked to. So, but when you're 7, you don't realize the signs and symptoms of heat stroke when they're coming on, And I kept pushing myself, and I remember feeling very tired. Okay, I didn't know my body was cooking, and then I needed to get inside. So I remembered laying down in the sun because that's what a child would do normally when they're tired, and my body continued to cook, and I passed. Unfortunately, the next thing I remembered was waking up, what people call their light body. So if you think of yourself as in the format of a black and white picture, it's the reverse. You're made out of white light, and you're transparent. You can see through yourself, basically your spirit. I remember looking down at my body, seeing my body lying there. I remember realizing right away, okay, I guess I'm dead. It didn't strike me as odd. I was trying to figure out what was going on. Then there was a tunnel that formed above me, and then I started traveling up it, to it. There was a white light at the end of it, just like all the normal NDE story. When I got to the end of it, there was an angel there that gave me a past life review. It's sort of like having a million television screens in front of you just going off and you realizing what's happening at all of them at once. How like here in this 3D world, your sense of time is lateral. You could feel it transpire and go on. It just Cynthia like happened instantaneously, the snap of a finger. Like I saw everything transpire that I went through in my short 7 years of life, and it just seemed to happen instantaneously. After that, he took me over to what I perceived to be the gates of heaven. It was beautiful, and what I could see on the other side, it was gorgeous. But then there was another angel there, and I remember looking up at him and feeling it, like a feeling of deja vu, like I knew him from where I don't, but I just felt like I knew him. And he looked down at me and he said, "Your job isn't done. You have to go back." Next thing I knew, I woke up in my body, paramedics hovering over me, trying to get me stabilized, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So it was short, but it was long enough to should we say change my life.
I mean, I couldn't even imagine that happening at 7 and embracing that just mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Like, to know all of your potential right there at that age. I mean, I'm almost 50 and I'm barely figuring that shit out. So I think that's incredible. So it speaks a lot to obviously you have a life lived and centered on service and creation and responsibility. And I love all of those things. It seems like the next big change in your life, I feel like through things, just getting to know you through your website and your interviews and stuff, being a father was becoming a father. Change something for you. So let's talk about that because I think that is going to drive us into the books, right? This is kind of what, okay, awesome.
So 2010, when I had my daughter, I started to look around for things to, that she would get interested in. Of course, I always loved poetry. So what parent doesn't want to at least expose the children to stuff they like to do or
Right.
read when they were children? And I grabbed all the classics, the Iliad, the Odyssey, Dante's Inferno, Beowulf. But then I started to realize, like, why would a young girl want to read this? I mean, what's in it for her? Where are the female heroines? And I started looking at, like, there aren't any in this genre. There's none. I
Yeah.
mean, they talk a little bit of, like, the Iliad, the Odyssey, but no one's the primary character. No,
Right.
no females. So I was like, wow, someone needed to do something about that, And I really felt like it bothered me because I work with so many brave, females in the military, and they were just awesome, and they deserve some credit, I mean, there's young girls that want to go through the hero's journey. They need to be able to emulate somebody, but they're not going to do that through man. They're going to, I want them. It's better to do it through women. So I figured that's why I got right the Amazons and in a row. The feminine in the hero's journey, at least, at least to have re some representation in it,
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's, I think that's been a great way for you to approach pulling people back into reading those classic things. What was another, what's the next big defining moment in your life? You do these books, what comes after that?
Well, I noticed, when I basically, when I was writing the Amazons, I studied every form of poetry out there. I look for pros and cons, and some are great, some just flow beautifully like a song, and others, like they're okay. I'm not a big guy on haikus, like they have their place, but they just don't work for me. But it's art. It's all art. It's subject. Some people like it, some people don't. It is what it is. But I knew that if I wanted, so Gen Z, Gen Alpha to actually look at this book and read it. I wanted them to actually own it, say, this is from my generation. I need to invent something new. That's where I came up with LLP or linked lyrical poetry. It closely resembles rap close enough that they can relate to it. I mean, how many of the younger generation can memorize a rap song, forward or backwards? Like it's nothing. You have to hear it several
Right.
times. So that's why I decided to use that format, but then also change it to a po point to where you recognize it as poetry. So it's not rap, it's poetry, but it's LLP, linked lyrical poetry, because it ebbs and flows. It ebbs and flows. There has to be dialogue among the characters in order for the story to progress. So I need it to ebb and flow a little bit. Yeah.
How did the Sigma Squad graphic novel series come about?
Well, I'm still working on that. We've been delayed. The artist that I'm using to help me finish the novel, their office got what? So I'm trying to do as much work as I can. After it's done, I'll probably have my hand on about 20, 25% of the pictures, the artwork I've done myself. The rest is done by the other team. That was something that, a personal project that really affected me when 2020, when COVID hit. Now everybody, across the board says that was a strange time. It was like, everyone was under a spell. It bothered me to see how fast people were to don a mask without question. They just automatically put it out without question. I'm like, really? I try to have faith in humanity. I try to think the best, but to seeing that automatic, like, lemming response, without questioning it, it bothered me. And of course, myself, I was forced retired on the military because I refused to take the COVID vaccine. So it was personal to me, and I felt like I needed to do something about it. Like, Joe's six pack isn't going to go pick up a 5-inch thick book with a layer of dust on it from the library, start reading it. Okay.
Right.
I needed to bring information closer to where he is at mentally. And, so the comics seem the best way, or graphic novels seem the best way to do it. So I could put sparks of knowledge in there in the form of a story that they might enjoy. But it also might enable critical thinking because a forest fire starts the spark. And that's all you need to put in there. So I could put the, but now let's just, this is a conspiracy theory. It's just a, let's just say there's, the deep state actually exists. And there's rogue government agencies or agencies within the CIA, within the FBI that are running things. Well, how would it look? And what would they be doing? And yeah, how would they be covering it up? So, that's, I could honestly, with the Sigma Squad, I could take every episode of the X-Files that they made and make a book out of it, honestly. Because I'm introducing, I'm bringing aliens into it, or reptilians into it. So it's going to be fun, but. There's also basis in Gnostic religions because I found them very interesting. So what it's basically going to be is the Gnostics called angels aeons, and they're going to be a pair of aeons that are set down by God to be assassins, hunt down and kill members of the deep state, and it's going to be very graphic novel.
And my audience knows me too well to not be able to say this, but maybe this is actually like a guidebook to what needs to happen next, literally. No. But yeah, I love that you want people to wake up. It is terrifying how asleep the world is on such a grand level, because we would be ignorant not to think that that stuff, I'm a tinfoil hat wearer, and conspiracy theories aren't even fun anymore because it's just truth. So I think I love that you're going to bring some truth to a part of life that people are still not awake to.
Well, in the first issue that I'm working on, they're going to break into Bohemian Grove, kill everybody, and blow it sky high.
Nice. I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of that. That's amazing. So listen, you have lived radically different lives, starting from like age 7, which that's, I mean, huge, monumentally huge. The obesity as a kid, and I'm sure that was an incredible struggle, but even being in the Air Force, and the bodybuilding, and the artist, and the creator, and the father, all of these things. Which version of you was the hardest to, I guess, kill, really? With that.
When you serve the military, you're in the mindset of service. Okay, so you become you're in the Air Force, you're an airman. Then you become an NCO, not commissioned officer, and you have to give indirect orders to people, and you also have to take orders on a daily basis. So after a while, I was forced retired. It was hard for me to transition to get out of that mindset. Like, wait a minute, I'm on my own now. I don't have to take orders from anybody. So it took a little while for me to say untraumatize myself. Okay, unprogram myself and like, wait a minute, I could do whatever I want now because it's game on now. So yeah, it took a while for me to get out of that mindset.
A lot of people in that state, though, like I feel like not even necessarily just with the military, but anytime you kind of break free from whatever's holding you, right? There, it seems like there's something, and then all of a sudden we realize like we're on our own here. We make our own decisions. Every day I get to wake up and be like, oh, the world, what am I doing today? What do I get to create today? A lot of people freeze in that state. So what kept you moving forward instead of just kind of like the freeze of like, I have no more direction? Because it's a whole identity, and that I am talking military. It does become a whole identity. So just I would love to you hear a little more about that process.
Well, number one, I'm sure a lot of your listeners would understand that when you have an angel tell you that your job isn't done, you wake up with that, knowing that every day. So, like, it sort of weighs on you. But I came back changed from my NDE. as do a lot of people that experience that you have. And this is one of the reasons why I knew it wasn't a dream. I had paranormal experiences that came back with me. I was seeing things before they happened. I was having visions. I saw my, like distant family friends come to visit, and I told my mother about it hours before it happened. And she looked at me odd when it happened. No, I told my mother, we lived in Wisconsin. And, it was a bad winter, and she slipped and broke her in her ankle on the ice. But I told her it was going to happen a day prior,
Oh,
and
wow.
it freaked her out. It freaked her out. Yeah.
I'm
But
sure.
having things like that happen to me, and knowing that is one of the things that you come back with a knowing that number one, and in most empty years, we're not afraid of death anymore. Shoot me right now, and it is what it is. I don't care. And I've always had that sort of laissez-faire attitude about it because it is what it is. I know that I'm going to live after this. See, it's so hard to describe in words, in three-dimensional words, normal words. There's a feeling of love that you feel when you're in that spirit, in your light body, that it just goes through every cell in your body, that it's like you know everything's going to be all right. The best way I could describe it is like in physical terms, is like when you're a young child and you run to your mother and she hugs you. That's the best way I could describe it. That feeling of warmth, that feeling of everything's gonna be okay. Yeah, but just having been there and have the hat and T-shirt, knowing that I'm here to make a difference. I was sent back for a reason.
I feel like, do you think this is what I know to be true? Everyone has a purpose. Everyone. Not everybody's going to wake up and remember that. I understand that. But do you think most people are avoiding their calling, or do you think they're just genuinely unaware that they even have one? Because I know I wasn't blessed with a near-death experience, so I've had to have that deeper level of faith to just know like what's around the corner, that total blind faith. So for those of us out there without that reassurance, without that, angel awakening, what do you think these people are out here slack-a-lacking on?
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you religious? Do you believe in the other side?
Oh, I absolutely believe in God.
Okay. Okay. So you better understand that there's the opposite to it then. Okay. People often talk about the seven deadly sins, and that's great. But then there's the eighth that they forget about, and there's the actual demon that does this. He tells you you're not worthy. He tells you you're not good enough. He tells you you're tired. Okay, and now that I'm telling you these words, you can relate to it, but you didn't realize that what it actually was. It's the eighth deadly sin. It's the fact that you listen to it, you tell yourself you're not enough, and you listen to it, you act, or so we say, don't act on it, then that's the problem. Okay, you have to meet them where they're at and say, no, I am better. Get up off your ass and go to the gym. Go for a walk. Go do what you need to do. Yeah. I would say, as far as finding your purpose, if you ever had a loss of time when you were doing something in life, that you like to do, and you looked up like, oh my gosh, you lost track of time, hours just went by. That's a sign from the universe of what you're supposed to be doing. Because you enjoyed it, you were so passionate about it, you loved it. That's your sign right there. So start looking for finding a way to make money at it, doing it.
I love that. And my audience is definitely going to resonate with that, especially knowing the words of the devil, that it's never going to be something that serves you. And he's constantly going to be in your ear trying to say all those things. You're not worthy, you're not enough. Have you ever in your experience, because I know you had this pressure of this calling and this knowing, but also you're still human. So did you ever try to outrun what you knew you were called to do?
I felt guilt at not doing it sooner. When you're in uniform, okay, they'll tell you, oh, you could go vote for who you want to vote. You can go play act. No, you're under restrictions, okay? You can't do what you want to do. And I felt guilt the entire 20 years. I felt guilt. That's why I'm doing this now that I'm up. And I saw the same thing, like when there was a time in my life when I was younger when I was actually considering becoming a priest, but so we say, I mean, the priest that I saw wasn't a good role model. I mean, he was I had to serve as the altar boy for several years, and the priest was actually handing us the altar wine before mass, for us to drink. So I was going out there, doing mass with a buzz. I was drunk, all three of us, the two altar boys and the priest. And what kind of example is that? So he's a very flawed man. And then I realized very quickly, like, he has a rank system too, where, there's cardinals, there's bishops, there's the pope. So there's a rank structure. As soon as you step out of line and do something they don't like, they're going to stop you. They're going to put a kibosh on it, and they're going to stop you. So you have to be independent if you're going to actually go out there and change the world. Yeah, you can't have people like that, dragging you back.
Right. Why do you think that society has let comfort become the highest virtue? Because I think that's part of why people are so dead asleep right now, is because of their comfort.
Well, it's numbing. It helps them forget what they're supposed to be doing. Yes, they'll feel regret. But when you forget it, when you're concentrating on Netflix for 4 hours or 6 hours or the entire day, you forget it. But then you'll stop it, and then the regret comes back. You're like, oh my God, I just can't believe I just binge watched the whole day. It's okay. I'm not saying don't relax, don't have fun, but there again, how much of that can you take, or should you be doing? Ask yourself that.
So scrolling on Netflix all day and then crying to your coach that you didn't create anything for the week, like at some point there has to be a level of responsibility. And I think, I mean, technology, love it or hate it, but cell phones have been a great demise. Social media, I feel like all of this is playing into that. What a mess of culture and just really spiritual warfare, you know? What is your definition of being awake?
Discernment, when you see through the bullshit. Like, someone would tell you something, and you'll not only see through what they're saying, but you'll see. You ever see the meme of the conspiracy theorist where he has the pictures and the lines of yarn between the text and the background? Okay, basically that's how your mind will start to work. You start connecting, automatically connecting, and like you go up to the highest person, like, oh, I see why he's doing this. So you'll might placate him and like, okay, yeah, whatever, but you know exactly what's going on, and you're gonna find some way somehow to shall we say avoid it. Yeah.
What does the world look like? What is the world that we're handing our kids if we keep numbing instead of building and creating?
Oh, exactly. I mean, when I'm gone from here, I know my kids can say, my dad did something. My dad changed the world. Yeah. I'm going to leave them a legacy.
If I have someone listening today right now and they're just like stuck asleep, or you know, they want to be coddled and handheld, what's your advice, the first honest move that they need to make today?
Listen to your inner voice. Okay. Truth vibrates differently than lies. So if you're, in a religion that you have questions about, start listening to that, those questions. Like, why does this not feel right? What's the vibe? Okay. If you are in a relationship with a person that the vibe is off, well, listen to it. Okay. There's a reason for it. That gut feeling exists to protect you. Start listening to it. If going to a place or doing it at something, it feels off, don't do it. Stop it. Start listening to your gut.
I mean, I'm huge on massive responsibility. So, even again, with the incredible experience you had as a 7-year-old, I feel like we all come to this point in life where we kind of realize that we're alone, ideally. You know, no one is coming to save us. So, when did you first realize that? Because I imagine you felt more alone than a normal person because you have this experience that no one in your immediate family or your life could relate to. So there's that little bit of just kind of, I feel like that'd be even harder for you to come back to that.
Well, when I was telling my mother about what I was seeing, because I was seeing spirits as well, I was telling her this. I could see that it's not only scared her, but it crossed that line of the sand that everyone has that they're not comfortable with. So in the Roman Catholic religion, it's not like you don't talk about it, but you don't go there. And I was going there, and it scared her. And okay, I realized, okay, I need to step back. I need to figure this out on my own at 7, because she's not going to help. And I knew, so it's just, that's one of the, that was the time when I needed to figure out, okay, I'm on my own and
You're
I
on
need to
your
go.
own. Wow, at 7. And I thought, emancipating at 15 was a young age. But like you took on the world at 7. So, I'll give you the points for that 'cause wow, that's huge. I see a lot of people who say that they're called and they live very undisciplined lives. What do you think the disconnect is?
They choose, pick and choose what they listen to, what they do. Okay. I look at it as my body is God's temple. Okay. And how it looks is how he looks. Okay. How I'm able to use it is how he's able to use it. So if in order for him to use it to its utmost, it has to be in peak condition. I mean, I'm 50 years old and I have a 28-inch waist and I run average 10 miles a week. So it's God's body, it's not mine. You need to start looking at it that way too. This is just rented. Okay,
Right.
it's just rented. You're a spirit inside of a meat suit.
Right. I think that is a realization that came over me this year of just like, I think you guys don't understand how much our bodies even show our relationship with Christ. And it does in that obedience. So that's been on me this year for sure. As a parent, I know I'm constantly thinking about legacy. So, what shifted in you to want to lock that in? Because you said your daughter's gonna know, they're gonna be like, he did something. How does that, what does that look like for you?
Well, people probably, I would say people would come up to, after I'm gone, that is, okay, people will come up to my children and tell them personally how much they respected me. Basically, that's I think what would happen. It's like, I changed your life in some way. Like, just like with the music, I have
Yeah.
been getting so much feedback from medical professionals, therapists, psychiatrists, just from our song The Loop that talks about addictive cycles like alcoholism
Yeah.
and sex and drugs and stuff like that, to help people realize what they're doing. So the feedback has been phenomenal, and I know I'm changing the world and making it a better place.
I love that. Do you, because that's how I feel like with my books and with the podcast and the things that I do, I think this is a legacy for me because my kids are going to keep coming back and seeing how much people stepping into their potential mattered to me. We have a platform, we have a voice, we're meant to use it. So when you are creating, do you always have that in mind? Like this is going to be something your grandkids and beyond are going to be able to listen to connect to you.
Well, when I came back, I'm not only am I an empath, I'm very connected still. So a lot of the stuff that I put out isn't necessarily me. I
Yeah.
would say 80% of it, if not more, is channeled. So just to give you an idea, a couple of years ago, I had a particularly hard day. I was going to bed early, trying to go to sleep, and all of a sudden I got what I refer to as a download. So I know immediately when that happens in that situation. I immediately started to take notes, take it down, and for some reason it was a country song. I like, what
That's
am I?
great.
But now I have a band for some reason. But that was years ago. Now I have a band, so I'm like, okay, now I understand why it happened. Yes.
That's awesome. And you create art with depth and symbolism. I feel like obviously society, big pharma, all these things, one is dumb and distracted. So why is this craftsmanship almost gone? I see it. I make fun of my husband because he's like, they don't make good music anymore. And I'm thinking like we're losing creativity on so many levels
Has he listened
with
to our album?
has what?
Has
No,
he
he
listened to our album? Okay.
I just sent it to him right now. I sent
Okay.
it, your website to him right now. But yeah, I mean, why do you think that's disappearing? Is it disappearing? Am I just not seeing it?
Well, that's I mean, you'd have to put on your martyr's cap, and we'll have to go down a deep rabbit hole for that. But
Yeah.
It's a control mechanism for humanity. It's a control mechanism for humanity. In fact, next month I'm going to do a whole hour and a half podcast on it, about the music industry. But basically, the vibrations they're putting out is affecting the human body. What you think, how you act, it is. So what you listen to is very important. It's very important. I know you think, oh, it's just music. It's not. It's affecting you. It's affecting you. Trust me, it is. Same thing with the TV, what you're watching.
I did read, you sent me the lyrics for one of your songs,
Bitch do better.
Bitch Do Better. Yeah. So I feel like it's not just a breakup song, it was like a moral audit. So I thought that was really cool.
It's coming out next year. Probably the album will be out with that song on it in March next year. Or
Okay.
this year, sorry, this year. Yeah.
How did the band come up? Is that the band is going to be your most recent creation then, right?
The band was sort of, if you had told me a year ago that, hey, you're going to put out an album and you're going to be in a band, I would have laughed at you. Like I had no intention. How it started was, I got together with my good friend Andrea Giordani, a very talented voice actress, to revamp my Amazon's audiobook. And we're going to put a lot of money into it. We hired 30 voice actors, got all the sound effects. It's going to basically sound like you're listening to a movie. Anyway, what else does a movie have? It has a soundtrack. So I'm like, great, Andrea, you got this. You audition the actors, and then I'll go find a band. And then I went looking for a band on like the internet and all around, and out in Upwork.com, I found a vocalist called Leo Sather out of Dusseldorf, Germany, and he knew Max the drummer and I mean, sorry, Max the keyboardist and Ellis the drummer. He brought them in, and we did 10 songs together as where they were like contracted help for me. And it just worked out phenomenally. And then after the contract ended, they brought up the idea of putting out an album.
That's amazing. And I'm
Yeah.
sure it's a blast. Like, no pressure, no, just the
Well,
fun.
we don't have anybody to try to live up to their expectations. We're doing what we wanted to do. And we made the album with this in mind because we all love the 80s music and we miss it. So we had this in mind is if you went into your basement or your attic and you found your old cassette or CD collection and you found one that you had never opened somehow, what would it sound like? And that's what we put on that album is songs that would probably sound like we made in the 80s, but they're brand new.
Oh, my husband's definitely going to be all over that because he's an 80s fanatic. So it is, I'm definitely excited for him to check that out. And you also did a poem, What the Fall Was For. Are you, and this is going to be something that you're going to put on,
Well,
you're going to
what
use
I'm
it.
doing is yes, I'm probably going to because that's where all if you listen to the songs, and like one of the podcast hosts I was on, he's like about fourth song in, I realized like, wait a minute, you tricked me into listening to poetry. I like, yes, I did. And they're all poems. All the songs are poems. They started out as poems. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, this poem for sure. It's I feel like it's about what pressure is building when no one is watching. And I love that because that's so many people don't understand, like diamonds are made from coal and no one sees the actual pressure happening, but there's something beautiful at the end. So I love this. What else are you working on right now? What's currently on your docket for creativity?
Well, right now we're trying, I mean, very much so to finish the graphic novel. So I'm putting in as much work as I can. I'm also talking to companies to try to possibly be making an Amazon's and or Sigma Squad cartoon. But with the advances of AI, because they quoted me for about 10 minutes of video about $250,000. But with AI, you're like, maybe if I just wait another 6 months, I might be able to get a viable video off of AI and then make it a go
Exactly.
of it for a lot cheaper. Yeah. And then, of course, I mean, I'm writing the Amazons too as well, and I'm working on redoing my children's book, The Crappy's Curse. So I have a lot of work. Yeah.
That's amazing. So you're never not busy. Like, what does downtime look like for you?
That doesn't really
It
exist.
doesn't exist. I love it.
No, no.
I love that.
Yeah, if you looked at me from the outside, people might think I'm crazy, but it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have the same. My brain is neurospicy and I have 100 projects going at once and I love it. And people get frustrated and they're like, just focus on one thing. My brain doesn't work like that. Like the focus on one thing has never been my cup of tea. So, no.
Well, I'll get inspiration from one thing and I'll
Yeah.
have to go to it, you know, and then while you're inspired, you want the muses to talk to you
Yeah.
and to flow through you and put that creativity in that project. Yeah.
I love that so much. Tell my audience what your website is, where they can find you, where they can get all the downloads. And you guys make sure you check the show notes because I'm linking that all in there as well. And any highlight, any message you want to leave for them today?
Okay, you could go to www.petergunn.net, Gunn with two N's. And if you go to your favorite music app, just type in the Hazing Hades is the name of the album, and the name of the band is the Angelics with two L's. And I would say, you know, if you're going to take on a project, if you're not neural spicy, you consider yourself average, you know, don't look at the entire project, the end. So, you know, there's that old joke about how do you eat an elephant? And the
One
answer
bite,
is by the
yeah.
time. So don't look at the elephant. Just take a bite. Take a baby step. Just today, take a bite. And then
Yeah.
tomorrow, take a bite. Don't look at the whole thing. Don't look at
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
I got a lot of neuro spicy bitches out there. So cheers to us because we can handle
That's
looking at the
great. That's
elephant and
great.
still handle
Yeah.
it. So
Yeah.
this has been awesome. Before we wrap it up, you guys, if this conversation hit you in the chest and instead of just your ears, do me a favor, share the show. Send it to a friend who's been stuck, quiet, rebuilding, or pretending that they're fine while God is clearly doing something deeper. This show grows because you help me move it. Please make sure you are following Peter Gunn and paying attention to his work, the writing, the music, the art, the discipline. It's not just noise. He's coming with substance, and journeys like this are worth watching unfold in real time. So, Peter, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on today. We got to have you back to promote your new books. I feel like they're going to be pretty awesome. And your new album when it gets released
Oh yeah,
as
definitely,
well.
definitely.
For sure. As always, this is the Listen Bitch podcast. No coddling, no excuses, just truth, responsibility, and the reminder that your potential is not random. It is God given, it is assigned. And I'll see you next time.